Now. Enough is enough. Stop. Let's reevaluate so we can walk away when it's all said and done and answer the question, and how are the children? And our response will be, all of the children are well. Now we got work to do. I can serve. I'll serve under Mr. Leonard. I'll serve under whoever you put there.
That was Dr. Sheena Payne, the current deputy superintendent of the Escambia County School District, and as of now will be remaining as the deputy superintendent as the Escambia School Board appointed Keith Leonard to fill the role as the interim superintendent. His contract will start on June 1st this Thursday and will last at least a year, giving him time to implement his ideas and strategies for moving the school district forward. There was about 2 hours worth of public comment, a lot of heated public comment, as a lot of people came out in support of Mr. Leonard as well as Dr. Payne as well. But in the end, it was Payne's passionate speech there that kind of closed the door on the two sides and allowing folks to come together. And then the board quickly voted 5-0 to move forward with Keith Leonard as the interim superintendent. It's Pensacola Right Now. I'm Joe Gracie alongside. We've had plenty of reaction to the school board meeting today. Coming up after the Fox News update at 6:30, we will have school board member Kevin Adams joining us on the phone to talk about everything that happened here today and how the district will move forward with Keith Leonard at the helm. We'll start off with a quick update on the roads and weather together.
Roads are looking great right now. Nothing to slow you down that's not out of the ordinary, or that is out of the ordinary. If you see something on the road, just give me a call at 850-262-6111. For today's forecast, we have some overcast skies. It's 82 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together.
Today's top three stories, we already covered the one of the three, the Escambia School District approving Keith Leonard as the interim superintendent. Nationally, a number of congressional Republicans are lining up in opposition to the debt ceiling deal. That includes Florida's Matt Gaetz as well as Texas's Chip Roy.
No one sent us here to borrow an additional $4 trillion to get absolutely nothing in return.
Now, the House is scheduled to vote on the debt ceiling deal tomorrow, and if the House were to approve that, the Senate would follow. From the White House's point of view, they're hoping that President Biden can sign it by the end of the week.
And police in Hollywood, Florida, are still looking for two suspects in a mass shooting last night that left 9 people injured. Mayor Josh Levy says that 4 of the victims are minors, including a 1-year-old. He says that 2 groups started fighting and shooting at each other on a busy beach area. 1 suspect is already in custody.
More local headlines in addition to the school board. In the media had a chance to pay a visit to the Escambia County Operations Center as hurricane season is officially open 2 days from now on Thursday, June 1st. Now, if you have been in Florida during hurricane season for any length of time, you've no doubt have heard the phrase, the first 72 is on you. Well, now get ready to hear 1 week ready on repeat.
We want to make sure that we plan for a catastrophic event here. So if we were to plan for a Category 5 hurricane, we would want to make sure that our citizens had enough food and water per individual for at least a week on hand.
And that's Escambia County Emergency Manager Travis Tompkins, who says that will be the new messaging statewide. And as always, county leaders are stressing knowing your evacuation zone, knowing your home insurance coverage, and having your plan and supplies in place before the storm would arrive. We got a couple of updates here today, follow-ups on a couple of recent shootings. We heard from Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons following yesterday's deadly shooting at the Days Inn on Lavelle Way. Simmons says it started when 2 people who were staying at the hotel had a previous beef and they ran into each other in the hotel lobby.
They happened to be, one's checking out, and one looks like be checking out as well, and then they ran into each other in the lobby. And they ended up exchanging gunfire and resulted in the death of one individual.
Simmons also identifying a suspect, Devin Smith. The person who was killed reportedly was out on bond on a previous homicide charge. The victim's hotel room was searched, and Simmons says they found drugs and around $6,000 in cash. A Monday shooting incident at the Circle K on Pensacola Beach. The clerk that was involved at the Circle K will not be charged. This video taken on cell phone has been making the rounds and going viral. Here's what it sounded like.
Hey, how are you? What's up?
Oh my God.
And the video, or the audio rather, from that video that showed the clerk walking out of the store chasing away a couple or a group of young males. In a statement, Sheriff Simmons says, in part, quote, as many as five individuals were involved in a disturbance and continued walking in and out of the store, threatening the clerk. That happened on Monday morning at around 1:30, again, out at the Circle K on Pensacola Beach. We'll take a brief pause and check in on the roads and our weather together.
On that story, it's a little bit funny because you know it's the Circle K at the beach because there's a Flounders worker in that patterned shirt walking in and out.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. But yeah, good call.
So when I was watching, I was like, wait, this is on Pensacola Beach.
Yeah.
But taking a look at our roads, we are looking good right now with I-10 and I-110 not showing any major slowdowns, and even 98 not showing anything to slow you down. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. And Alan Strum has an update for us on our weather for this week.
Tonight's weather will be mostly cloudy. It will be dry this evening, and overnight lows will be around 70. Wednesday, it'll be sun and clouds with a high near 85, give or take, depending on where you are. There's a little bit of a chance for a shower or thunderstorm to pop up on Wednesday, but a better chance on Thursday at 50%. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
Thanks so much, Alan. There's a few clouds in Pensacola right now, but no chances of rain for tonight. It's 81 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together.
Also got an update from the sheriff's office regarding a shooting from Friday night that left a 16-year-old dead. And that's now being investigated as a possible self-defense case that happened Friday night on Murphy Lane. Deputies found the 16-year-old near the roadway with a gunshot wound to the head. Investigators, though, say that two armed 16-year-olds had reportedly been robbing people in that area, and now they believe that somebody had called for help and the person who showed up exchanged gunfire with the 16-year-olds. No charges have been filed on anyone at this time. So, really unfortunate situation and story there. Finally, if you're into fishing but don't have a saltwater fishing license, well, this weekend is for you. This weekend is the annual license-free saltwater fishing weekend around Florida. Chance for anybody interested without paying for a saltwater fishing license, or if you're an experienced angler that wants to bring a friend out who doesn't have a license, they can try it out. The license-free weekend is for both residents and non-residents. All regular rules such as size and bag limits still apply, of course. 6:20 right now. We'll take a break, come back with a look at your state and national headlines. And the Fox News update will be followed by a conversation with school board member Kevin Adams after the nearly four-hour meeting at the Escambia School Board today. You're listening to Pensacola right now on News Radio 92.3. Right now, here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Joe Gracie alongside. Happy Tuesday, that Gracie says feels like a Monday. I would agree with you, but hey, feels like a Monday. Guess what? Tomorrow's Wednesday. So
I know.
That's, I guess, good news if you've had the last few days off trying to get through the grind of the first day back after a long weekend. It's always tough doing that, but we thank you for spending some time with us as we get you caught up on everything happening in your world here today. Just shy of 6:25, we'll get a quick check of the roads and our first warning weather.
Well, roads are looking great right now with I-10 and I-110 not showing any major delays. And if you're heading out to Bands on the Beach, that starts at 7, nothing to slow you down getting onto Pensacola Beach. If you do see something else slowing you down on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. For weather, we have a few clouds in the sky right now. It's 81 in Pensacola, mostly cloudy for the rest of the evening with a low of 70. And we're not going to see any rain chances until tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. And that's going to carry over to Thursday. Again, 81 in Pensacola, 81 in Milton, and 80 in Gulf Breeze. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together. And this report is sponsored by Fresh from Florida. Hey, shoppers, this is your local farmer letting you know that your Florida watermelon is in season right now. You can learn more from followfreshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture.
So Governor Ron DeSantis in Des Moines, and he's going to be speaking, making his first campaign speech of his presidential campaign. If we can, we'll try to hop in and listen to a little bit of that. Obviously would anticipate that we do that every time because, you know, it's a long campaign season and he's just getting started. But it is his first one, so if we can, we'll hop into that. Of course, we're going to hear from Kevin Adams, school board member, coming up after the Fox News update, so we'll see if we can't do that. DeSantis also making stops in New Hampshire and South Carolina this week.
And a man who disappeared on a Carnival cruise ship off the coast of Florida is still missing. The U.S. Coast Guard says it's conducting a search for the 35-year-old man who went overboard yesterday morning about 186 miles east of Jacksonville. The cruise line officials say that security cameras show him leaning over the railing of his stateroom balcony and dropping into the water a little after 4 a.m.
And a man caught on camera yelling racial slurs and waving a gun at a group of black teens is accepting a plea deal. Mark Bartlett was in court today. He apologized for the confrontation, and he was ordered to serve 20 years of probation, perform 320 hours of community service, and is also banned from contacting any of the victims.
And jury selection is starting tomorrow in the trial of the Parkland School resource officer who was on duty at the time of the 2018 massacre. The judge is holding off on the decision about whether they'll go to the crime scene. The attorney for the former Broward County officer, Deputy Scott Peterson, wants the jury to tour the outside of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High only. If they're allowed outside, prosecutors want them brought into the building as well.
Look what's happening around the world. Maine state police say a trooper fired at a truck headed towards the Canadian border, believing there may have been explosives on board. That happened yesterday morning when the trooper first tried to stop the truck on Interstate 95. The truck reportedly had a sign indicating there was an explosive device on board. The truck eventually stopped between the U.S. and Canadian ports of entry when the trooper fired at the driver, who wasn't injured, and surrendered.
In the impeachment trial for Texas Attorney General Ken Maddox Maxton is set to start no later than August 28th. The 12 House members delivered an article of impeachment to the state Senate yesterday, and those who will prosecute the case are made up of 7 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Paxton, a Republican, is temporarily suspended after the GOP-controlled state Texas House voted to impeach him on charges including abuse of office and obstruction of justice.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will sign a recreational marijuana bill. The proposal lets those 21 and older have up to 2 pounds of marijuana at home and 2 ounces elsewhere. The bill does not legalize public consumption of marijuana, but the proposal does expunge the sentences of residents convicted of marijuana crimes.
Air travel over the Memorial Day weekend was over pre-pandemic levels. That's according to TSA. Agents screened close to 9.8 million people at airports across the U.S., 300,000 more than the same long weekend in 2019 before the COVID pandemic.
And Russia claims drones hit Moscow residential areas for the first time since Russia invaded Ukraine.
A rare drone attack. City officials say several buildings sustained minor damage. Some residents were evacuated, but no serious injuries. The Russian Ministry of Defense says 8 aircraft-type unmanned aerial vehicles were involved in the attack and were destroyed.
That's NBC's Molly Hunter. The mayor of Moscow says the strikes caused damage to some buildings and forced residents to evacuate homes. It comes 4 weeks after Russia claimed drones targeted the Kremlin in what it says was an assassination attempt on President Vladimir Putin.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is preparing to launch his presidential campaign. That's according to multiple reports that say allies of Christie have created a super PAC to support him during his primary season.
Well, that'll be enough here for our national news headlines. Of course, we got Fox Update coming up. They'll have more. Governor DeSantis still yet to take the stage in Iowa. But coming up next after the Fox News update, we'll have a conversation with school board member Kevin Adams, as the Escambia School District now has an interim superintendent in place. Yeah, thanks for joining us this afternoon. And Kevin, to start, you know, the meeting starts at 1:00, and you know, you're sitting there, and we go through 2 hours of heated public comment. We've got those in support of Mr. Leonard. We've got others supporting Dr. Sheena Payne. And then after the public comment, there's a brief pause as board member David Williams had a question regarding the motion for Keith Leonard, and then he would like to include Dr. Payne in on that if the board were to go in that direction. And then he invites Dr. Payne to speak, and then a very passionate speech followed the kind of wrapped everything up and kind of just rallied everybody in the room together around Keith Leonard. And I just wanted to know from you, sitting up there on the dais and hearing that, what was your reaction to that?
I was proud of Ms. Payne. That was an awesome speech she gave. And yeah, I was a booster club president over at West Florida High School when she was assistant principal. And then when she, you know, she was later on, she was the principal. So we've known each other for quite some time, but that was an excellent speech she gave on bringing unity back in the district. And I think you saw it in the votes, you know, it was 3 motions and there was 5-0 votes on each one of them. So I think the board landed in the right place. And now, you know, I mentioned in that meeting, there's no bigger problem than these kids that are living in these pockets of poverty and high crime areas that have nots in these schools, these low performing schools. So we got a big job ahead of us. We got 10 schools, 10 more schools are in that pipeline with DOE. We've got to bring their grades up to a C, and we've got to come up with some plans to do it. And so I'm happy with Keith because I was interested in his presentation he gave us a long time ago when he applied for superintendent and appointed, where he provided that 100-day template. He put in that empowerment schools where he was going to do a strategic plan for those low-performing schools. So no matter if he's there for a year or not, we've got to move ahead and move these schools along to get them off the DOE watch list.
Speaking with board member Kevin Adams, as the school district board voted 5-0 to appoint Leonard as the interim superintendent. And I know after that initial vote, Kevin, there was discussion and I think some valid questions that were brought up by Mr. Slayton regarding, well, you know, what happens if at any point on an agenda that isn't on the agenda, that somebody can just say, hey, we want to move in another direction, and just to kind of protect Mr. Leonard, because he is a valued employee and he has been serving the district for a number of years now. So you make the motion to approve him as this interim superintendent. You vote 5-0, and then now moving forward, tell me about the contract that the district, the board plans to lay out there to ensure that, you know, he's given the freedom to kind of enact what he wants to do, while, you know, after, you know, the most recent controversy surrounding Dr. Smith, you know, he does have that protection if things kind of were to go sideways.
Well, first of all, where Bill Slayton's a little bit off the mark, what happened can only happen when you're doing that eval, that annual eval. That's when it could come in. It's kind of known across the state of Florida or any other place that got appointed superintendent. When you get to that eval period and you've got at least 3 board members that can give you very good evals, your job might be endangered during that, when you're discussing the evals that night for the vote, you know. So any other time, it would have to be put on the agenda, you know, okay. If it was by itself. So I just want to clear that up. So And I will add this. People voted by a slight margin to go to this appointed superintendent. And a superintendent's going to have the performance to keep at least three board members happy with their performance, okay? I don't know any other way, but I don't think this is a board that's going to fire people after a year, you know. But they do have to have that performance. They do have to keep, you know, a minimum of board members that hold the job, okay? So I'm hoping Keith does a great job, you know, and we'll see. We'll see what he does. And if he does a good job, I hope the board rewards him for it.
And talking, you mentioned earlier in the interview that during the meeting you kind of referenced his 100-day plan, and the contract that he's going to agree to gives him at least 12 months, if not longer. So obviously for folks who are listening, I guess from your seat, what did you like about the plan that he introduced back in 2020 when he was vying for the superintendent position? And if you've had any conversations with him, I don't know if you have yet, but what has stood out about his plans to address what you've called, you know, the most, you know, pivotal part of this is that, you know, we still have 10 failing schools and we've got to get those in the right direction. So what about Mr. Leonard, for those who are listening, perhaps new to the school district, in order to kind of give them confidence that the board is the district as a whole is now moving in the right direction? What stands out about his plan?
Well, the empowerment schools is where you actually have somebody, you know, right now we have the assistant superintendent of HR, the assistant superintendent of operations. According to his plan, he wanted to have somebody at the same level who was in charge of these low performing schools, where they could bring all the assets to bear, where those low-performing schools will have somebody sitting at the table right in that, you know, I call it knights of the round table, but with that leadership team to where they can advocate for what resources those schools need. But so he's got that. So he's got a strategic plan that's set up for that, on how you align the business lines underneath that one person. I'll call it a czar, for any lack of a czar that's over the low performing schools, to where he can pull on whatever resources he needs to bring those schools up to a passing grade. So, and that was on page 8 of the package he gave us. Well, I kept it because it's still this paper copy I got here, because I liked that plan back then. And then he goes into a strategic plan for the whole district, which we still don't have a completed strategic plan. I don't have one. We started it, but we hadn't finished it. So so I'm hoping he dusts off that plan. I don't know if he will or not, you know, but that's what I would like to see. I'd like to see us move forward. I think doing nothing is not an option. We've got to move quickly to get the situation under control.
It's Board Member Kevin Adams. And Kevin, again, we certainly appreciate your time this afternoon, and know it's I think the meeting went just under 4 hours. So
probably 4 hours. So
you get a good night's rest tonight, and you know, the work is picking up. Kids are out of school, but now's the time to get everything in place. And now with the Escambia schools having an interim superintendent in place, that is certainly the hope for parents and for constituents here in Escambia County. Kevin, we appreciate the time today.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Enjoyed being with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's Board Member Kevin Adams. Once again, 6:45 here on News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check of the local roads and weather.
Roads are looking good right now with I-10 and I-110 showing no major slowdowns. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. Taking a look at weather, it's 81 right now in Pensacola with mostly cloudy skies tonight and a low of 70. No chances of rain for tonight, though. 81 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together.
Gracie, my memory's a little foggy. I believe we did do state headlines. It's been about 15 minutes ago. I want to say that we did.
Yes, but we haven't hit national.
National headlines, that's right. So, yeah, while we were doing the interview with board member Kevin Adams, I had a feeling this would happen. Governor DeSantis did do his speech in Des Moines. So, unfortunately, you know, we cannot do two things at once. And obviously, the bigger story here locally is the Escambia School District. So, obviously, we're going to defer to that. But it just happened to take place at the same time. But Governor DeSantis speaking in Iowa this afternoon, and he'll also be in Rhode Island and South Carolina and New Hampshire this week. Also, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie appears set to enter the race as well, according to multiple reports that say allies of Christie have created a super PAC to support him during primary season.
Maine State Police say trooper fired at a truck heading towards the Canadian border, believing that there may be explosives on board. It happened yesterday morning when a trooper first tried to stop the truck on Interstate 95 in Holton. And then the truck reportedly had a sign that indicated that there was an explosive device on board. The truck eventually stopped between the U.S. and Canadian ports of entry when the trooper fired at the driver, who wasn't injured and surrendered.
Air travel over the Memorial Day weekend was over pre-pandemic levels, according to TSA. Agents screened close to 9.8 million people at airports around the U.S., 300,000 more than the same long weekend back in 2019 before the COVID pandemic.
And passengers on a recent Carnival cruise might be rethinking going on another one after the ship was rocked by rough weather over the weekend. One passenger said it felt like the captain cruised directly into the eye of the storm. The storm delayed the Carnival Sunshine from returning to port in South Carolina. Water and debris filled parts of the ship as passengers were taking note of where to find life jackets.
If you joined us yesterday, we told you about the Iowa apartment complex that had partially collapsed over the weekend on Sunday. And initially, it was reported in Iowa that they had everybody accounted for, but that was not the case this morning. As an updated press conference, Davenport Mayor Mike Mattson gave this update.
Our community stands with these families and supports them. And again, my heart goes out to the families of the people that are unaccounted for.
So five people remain unaccounted for. Two of the five are believed to be in the building. A ninth survivor was found on the fourth floor of the building in Davenport yesterday. They were moving pretty quickly to demolish this. They were the canine units, the search crews had searched all through the day yesterday, and then they were set to demolish that. But I wonder if that is going to be put on hold now as they're still trying to find five people still unaccounted for.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has dementia. The Carter Center made an announcement on Tuesday saying she continues to live happily at home with her husband, enjoying spring planes and visits with loved ones. Former President Jimmy Carter entered hospice care earlier this year.
And finally, the U.S. is putting sanctions on 17 entities and individuals in China and Mexico that it says are involved in fentanyl-laced pill making. The Treasury Department says the targets of the sanctions are either directly or indirectly involved in the process to make the dangerous drugs that are often headed to the U.S. It's 6:50. We'll take a final break this afternoon. You're listening to Pensacola Right Now on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now, it's News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Gracie and Joe about to wrap up Pensacola Right Now. But first, we're going to get a quick look at the roads just a little bit before 6:55. I-10 and I-110 not showing any major slowdowns, but we're also looking good on 98. If you do see something on the roads causing delays, just give me a call to the traffic line. And for weather for this evening, mostly cloudy skies with a low of 70. And a few clouds right now. It's 81 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together.
Do quickly here, light day worth of sports, at least live sports. Major League Baseball, really the only thing going on here as the NBA and NHL playoff series wrapped up last night. The Tampa Bay Rays in Chicago taking on the Cubs. That one starts at 7:05. The Marlins leading the Padres 3-1 in the bottom of the fourth inning. Later on, the Braves are out west taking on the Athletics at 8:40 tonight. Other games in progress, the Orioles lead the Guardians 7-0. The Rangers lead the Tigers 5-4. And also the Reds and the Red Sox are in the second inning with the Reds leading 1-0 there. The Phillies and Mets and Royals and Cardinals are both scoreless. Let's see. We've got some wild, wacky stuff, of course, always happening in the world. And we've got an interesting one coming from England, Gloucester, England, where people just apparently roll after a run down this steep hill chasing a wheel of cheese, hoping to get down there first. And the winner was a Canadian teenager named Delaney Irving. She made it to the bottom first, but she was unconscious when she did it. Here's what she told reporters after the race was over.
I'm good. Now that I remember it, I'm good. I remember running, and then I hurt my head. And then I woke up in the tent. Despite the injuries, I think it's worth it.
Agree to disagree, but you do you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be doing that. But we talked a little bit about some senior pranks yesterday that didn't cause any damage, were harmless. This one, not so much. A school is the next one to play a prank, but some schools from Burlington, North Carolina got their school last night, or at night last week, filled the toilets in urinals with cement. The school says that the prank cost at least $4,000 in damages, and the kids could end up being faced with criminal charges.
Yeah, criminal charges, and, oh, I'm sorry, you get to go to summer school.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know if they can actually do that, but yeah. Yeah, that's not fun. That's not a good senior prank there.
No, not one that you're going to laugh about.
No, definitely not. Good news. We have plenty of that as well. 26 high schoolers. Now, here's a good use of time.
Yeah.
High schoolers. 26 high schoolers in Michigan spent their school year building somebody a new home. The school, Oakland School Technical Campus, does it every year, apparently, to give real-world experience to kids who want to learn a trade. I think that's a wonderful idea that should be adopted nationwide. It also ends up providing a family with affordable housing, which I think, you know, I mean, two stones with one bird, right? I mean, and I know I said that backwards. That was the intent.
We got it.
But yeah, I mean, if you're a community that is has an affordable housing crisis, which I know Pensacola, I mean, you hear that all the time. I think that could be a tremendous city, county, school district partnership. I don't know any of the ins and outs that it would take to get this in place, but they have done it in Oakland, Michigan, so it can be done. But I love that story there.
Yeah, I saw a picture of the house. It looked cute, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Looked awesome. A teenager who was shot and wounded after knocking on the wrong door in Kansas City last month made his first public appearance yesterday. That is Ralph. He joined hundreds of other people in the 36th annual Going the Distance for Brain Injury Memorial Day Run. The event supports Brain Injury Association of Kansas in Greater Kansas City. He is continuing to recover from last month's shooting and suffering from migraine and balance issues, but did make an appearance at that run on Memorial Day.
That's awesome. Good for Ralph. Love to see that. Good sports news. An emotional return to the mound for White Sox reliever Liam Hendricks last night. He received a standing ovation from his team, from the LA Angels, along with the Memorial Day crowd as he took to the mound for the first time since he recovered from Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was diagnosed in December, and his goal was to come back without being placed on the 60-day injured list, which he was able to do. So certainly a round of applause and congratulations to Liam Hendricks in returning to Major League Baseball. And, of course, shout out to the Escambia School District as they have Keith Leonard now as the interim superintendent. Dr. Sheena Payne impressed a lot of people with just her grace in acknowledging the people that were there in support of her, but rallying people around a unified front and saying that, hey, I'm happy to support and serve alongside Keith Leonard as the interim superintendent. So well done all the way around. That's going to do it for us, Pensacola, right now. You have a good Tuesday night. We'll be back tomorrow on News Radio 92.3.